The Play Action Podcast is fueled by Picasso's Pizza, where every night is pizza night.
Welcome into the Play Action Podcast on a short week as the Bills get ready for the Houston Texans. I'm Catherine Fitzgerald. He's Lance Izowski. Lance, quick turnaround for the team and for us as we kind of turn the page on that win over the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. But let's talk about the offense to start. Just kind of what were they able to do effectively that they can keep doing moving forward?
Yeah, they finally found answers, it seemed, with the way that Tampa Bay was going to defend them. You know, Tampa Bay was clear with what they were doing, a lot of blitzing. They watched the Bills film against in the games that the Bills struggled. They got blitzed a lot. They struggled on early downs. So Tampa Bay loaded the box. They forced Buffalo to throw on first down, and Josh Allen spread the ball around, and he did what now he's known to do.
Yes.
And after turning the ball over a couple of times early, he really settled in. And really, it was interesting, you know, with Keon Coleman not active on Sunday, the other players who really stepped up in a big way, Tyrell Shavers and Gabe Davis, are, in my opinion, should probably be at top of that list.
I would agree. I think just kind of the way they were able to make plays when Josh really needed them. You saw Gabe Davis on that fourth down early in the game, and it was just like, oh, welcome back, Gabe Davis. But I think as he continues to, you know, he's still less than a year out, I think, from that knee injury. So we'll see what they do with him this week on a short week. But Tyrell Shavers, I think, has really earned more snaps.
For sure. No, and when it comes to training camp, we get to see entire practices.
Yes.
So we get a better read on how guys look, how they're doing. The last couple of weeks with Gabe Davis, ever since he returned to practice, we only see him an individual in certain drills. So honestly, Catherine, I had no idea what to expect.
Yeah.
But he looks healthy, and that's significant because of the chemistry that he has with Josh Allen.
Right. They both talked about how they kind of – it came back. Like there was stuff Gabe had to relearn about the offense, the terminology that has changed since he left, but that chemistry was there right away. And I think – you know, that's something we've maybe seen this season of Josh needing to trust his receivers a little more, or for the receivers to earn that trust maybe. And Gabe is someone who has already built that up over the years.
Yeah. And when Josh Allen, he's had to get out of the pocket and the scramble drill comes on, not enough of the receivers this season before Sunday had stepped up.
Yeah.
You know, like Josh Allen needs to trust that he knows where you're going to be.
Yes.
So not only did Gabe Davis break off a couple of his routes and help out Josh Allen when he got into trouble, no one was open and, you know, there was pressure on, but Tyrell Shavers, the touchdown was, it was a huge play. It was just a quick out, but he recognized Josh was in trouble and he went straight up the sideline and got wide open and caught a really important touchdown in that game.
And talked to him a little after the game, and he was saying how they locked eyes for a second and he knew that it was coming his way. And that's such a sign of that rapport that he's been building up with, you know, less time on task with Josh. But I think Tyrell Shavers, you know, Sean McDermott joked that he does so well on special teams, he's now doing so well on offense, he'll be playing defense soon.
He is going to continue to earn his way on the field on offense because of what he brings as a run blocker too. Like,
yes,
when they're running out of those 11 personnel sets, or even like in heavier when they just have one receiver on the field, a lot of the times it's Tyrell Shavers because of what he can bring as a blocker. But it is really impressive the development that he's had as a receiver since he joined the practice squad. This is a guy who started his career at Alabama with guys like Devontae Smith, goes to San Diego State undrafted, and, you know, probably could have sought out other opportunities around the league, but he stayed here and just wanted to earn a role, and he's earned one.
Yes, delightful guy too.
Yeah.
So very cool to see that journey. I think it's been also interesting to see how the Bills have continued to tweak their offense. Lance, you're writing this week about getting running backs involved in the passing game. Just let's get into that for a second.
It's about time. I mean, in week one, you saw James Cook with that 51-yard run and catch that really showed how important those running backs can be when, you know, if a defense is playing man coverage or they're blitzing Josh Allen. So the last couple of weeks, you're starting to see it more because defenses think that, okay, well, if we get them in third and long, we blitz Josh, he doesn't look as strong as he did in previous years. So they at least try to test him. The last 2 weeks in particular, Joe Brady's been, he's been calling more plays with those running backs involved. And even on one of Josh Allen's interceptions Sunday, he threw the ball to Dawson Knox up the middle of the field, but Ty Johnson was wide open in the flat.
Famously open.
And there have been several times throughout the season where that running back has been open, whether it be Cook or Ty Johnson. So I do think, you know, there's going to be some, it's matchup to matchup. The coaches like to remind us of that. What we do 1 week doesn't mean we're going to do it another week, but they're going to get similar looks moving forward to where you just know, especially with how effective it was, they're going to trust that the receivers can block on the perimeter and that Ty Johnson, James Cook, and even Ray Davis, when he gets his opportunity, are going to be able to make plays. And it's just going to make defenses, it's going to keep them honest. You can't just worry about the tight ends. You can't just worry about the receivers. You can't just worry about Josh Allen running the ball. You have to account for those two players because, I mean, and those were two really great plays by Cook and Ty Johnson.
Right, and that's been the vision. You know, when we've asked, whether it's Sean McDermott, other coaching staff, whether it's Brandon Bean, like, hey, what's going on with this receiving core? They're always like, oh, well, we include these guys in the receiving core when we talk about receivers. So if they're going to do everybody eats, it has to be truly everybody.
Yeah, because they just weren't using the running backs for, you know, probably about 5 weeks there.
Yeah.
You've seen more of them being more deliberate about getting them involved. And that's going to be interesting moving into this week's game, Catherine, because the Texans are a very different team. They're not going to blitz as much. So, you know, it might be a little bit more difficult to get those running backs involved, but they're going to at least have to keep an eye on them. You know, it's at least something they have to prepare for. And any time and energy preparing for one set of plays or one, you know, personnel group is time that they have to take away from preparing for something else. So not going to be an easy game to run the ball. So, Catherine, this is going to be another Josh Allen game. He's going to have to make smart decisions because the turnovers is something he wants to cut down on and something he needs to cut down on because, as Joe Brady said on Monday, you can't turn the ball over a couple of times every game and think you're going to win. How about that run defense, Catherine?
Well, what about it? Which half do you want to get into?
Going into that game, you thought that was going to be a team that Tampa Bay, they're not going to be able to run the ball. They don't have that. You know, they don't have Bijan Robinson. They don't have Devon Achane, but they do have Sean Tucker, the former Syracuse running back who made some very big plays against the Bills. And Bobby Babich, Buffalo's defense coordinator, did not hide his frustration on Monday when he spoke to reporters about the run defense specifically.
No, I thought his quotes were really interesting, how he was saying, you know, enough's enough. And there have been times throughout the season he's been asked about it before, and he's kind of gone to the same things of gap integrity, keys, make your tackles, da da da. But this time I just felt he was a little more, you know, he was saying, like, we have to put our foot down. We have to say enough's enough. We have to play pissed off. And I think just hearing that about the mentality of the run defense, you know, it was interesting. They did make some changes at halftime, but Bobby Babich kind of downplayed that. He was like, it's not so much the changes we're making, it's more just people are doing their jobs in the second half, and how do we get that to start earlier in the game?
Yeah, they shouldn't have been surprised by what Tampa Bay did. The Buccaneers, they use a lot of pre-snap motion, and they like to run those counter plays to get you out of position. So Bobby Babich brought up, we need to read our keys. And So often they fell for the fake handoff or some of the little trickery, the window dressing that Tampa Bay used to try to confuse the Bills to where the ball was going to go. And this is stuff that they practiced throughout the week. I think that's why it was so maddening. It wasn't just missed tackles. It was getting fooled by just such the basics.
Yes.
And if you're going to get fooled by that kind of stuff, good luck winning in the league, because if you have to put another defender in the box to stop the run, it's going to make you more susceptible against the pass. Sean McDermott touched on that on Monday. You know, in the second half of that game, after Tampa Bay established the run, he had to put an extra guy in the box and account for that. And again, you're really rolling the dice there. Now, to the Bills, the credit of the Bills secondary, those
for
guys
sure.
played really well. Like,
yes.
Christian Benford, I think that he's been he missed the Miami game with an injury, but other than that, I think he's been very good the last 5 or 6 weeks for the most part. And he needs to continue that this week because he's got another difficult assignment in Nico Collins, who the Bills are going to have to use a very similar game plan to the one that was very effective in limiting Emeka Ogbuka from Tampa Bay.
Yeah, and I think so much of it becomes that mentality, too, of if we're going to stop the run, then we have to stop the run. Like, there's no, I don't know, it sounds so obvious when you say it that way, but even Bobby Babich is saying, like, there's fundamentals, and then there's just, like, doing your fundamentals.
Yes.
So it's, they did, again, marked improvement between first half and second half. I think 130-something of the Buccaneers' 202 rushing yards were in the first half.
Yeah.
But they need to start that a little earlier.
They do. And I'm sure from the coaching staff's perspective, the frustrating part must be that these were proven veteran players who are making mistakes in that first half, whether it's Joey Bosa, Matt Milano, players that the coaches expect to execute what is practiced during the week. And they were getting fooled by some of this. You know, it's one thing if you have guys, you know, TJ Sanders was playing on the edge in that game.
Sure.
If he was making mistakes, you could live with it, right? Like, okay, a rookie playing out of position, but these are guys that you expect to be the leaders of your defense. And the Bills know that if you keep playing that way, I mean, if Tampa Bay can run on you, any team has a chance to run on you, including this week. Like, the Texans don't have that elite number one running back, but they do have, I mean, Woody Marks is a very capable rookie who can make some of the plays in the passing game, like Tucker used to score on that touchdown. And they have Nick Chubb who can at least break tackles at this point in his career. So
Unk still got it.
He's still got some of it. So it is going to, that really feels like from that defense is starting to force more turnovers. The secondary is starting to come together a little bit with Maxwell Harrison healthy, with Cole Bishop playing his best football. So they know this is the area they have to fix if this team's going to accomplish what it wants to accomplish this season.
Dorian Williams told me that Cole Bishop is playing hot as fish grease right now.
Did he expand on that? Like, did he?
He just said it so certainly that I couldn't question it. I was just like, you're right. That's exactly what I would say, too.
He had that one ready, it seemed like.
Yeah. He said he told Cole, and so I asked Cole about it. He was like, I don't know what it means. But it is a compliment. If you're listening and confused, it's a compliment. And I think let's talk Cole Bishop for a second, just kind of how he's been able to not only ascend, but play more consistently.
Yeah, no, good for him. There's still, when you're playing safety, in any defense, I don't care which one it is around this league, it is very difficult.
Yeah.
You know, I know that, I think Bobby Babbage said last week, cornerback is the most difficult. Safety has to be the second. Just not only, especially with the way the Bills use their safeties, you're up in the box on one play, you're back on another. So you have to be good in coverage, you have to be good against the run, and they have so much responsibility before the snap. So I'm sure that Jordan Poyer coming into the lineup has helped. You know, Taylor Rapp's a good, you know, a pretty good player, but he was playing hurt.
Right.
So that's tough. It puts everybody in a bind. But with Poyer in and sort of the leadership and knowledge he brings, I think you can see Cole Bishop playing a lot more free. Now, it's not perfect by any means. I mean, you're never going to be at that position. But as you mentioned, the consistency, and that makes a world of difference, especially like Maxwell Harrison. I know that he's a first-round pick and he's played really well. Like, I don't think he gave up a catch in that game, but he's still a rookie. So, like, he's going to need safety help at times. You're going to have to be reliable in the back end because teams are going to test that secondary, especially the rookie after that Waddle touchdown last week. But having Bishop playing the way it's something that needs to continue.
Now, Lance, when we say it's a short week, it is a short week for both teams. You know, I think sometimes we're talking to Bills players and coaches about that. And it's like, well, it's the same for the Houston Texans. The difference is, though, they are banged up at quarterback. They've got some injuries they're navigating right now, but CJ Stroud still in concussion protocol as of Monday's injury report as we record Tuesday morning. So it's looking very unlikely that he will play and clear concussion protocol in time to play on Thursday. Jeez.
The Bills know that this is still going to be a challenge. Davis Mills, the backup quarterback, he's pretty, like, if you ranked backup quarterbacks in the league, Catherine, I think he would probably be in the top 10. That's not saying a lot. There aren't many good quarterbacks in this league, not enough as there should be, but he's led them to consecutive wins. Now, those were against the Jaguars and Titans, of course, but he's capable. And the thing is that to stop this Texans offense, not only do you have to limit that run game, because if you let any quarterback use a play action, it's going to be tough to stop. But it runs through Nico Collins. He's gotten double digit targets, I believe, 4 weeks in a row. He already has 82 targets in 9 games.
Absurd.
That's 9 targets a game.
Yeah.
So if you stop, and he's somebody, this is easier said than done, but you have to stop him if you're going to have a chance to win this game. And that defensive line, they didn't get to Baker Mayfield until really the fourth quarter in that game. And a big part of that is not being able to stop the run. So getting after Davis Mills, making him uncomfortable, is going to make the world a difference. And this is going to have to be a bounce back game for Joey Bosa. He's coming off that wrist injury, very difficult to play through that. I know that was a big part of it, but they need him to really make an impact in this game.
Yeah, I think just kind of the defensive line has navigated so many injuries that it's hard to evaluate what it could actually look like. But it does need to look a little better.
Yeah.
You know, we can still say that.
Now, Greg Rousseau, he told me last week, like, Kansas City, that game showed our potential.
Yes.
And we were able to do that because we stopped the run.
Yeah.
You know, they feel very good about their chances as a pass rush. And the numbers really back that up. I mean, they're pressuring quarterbacks. They're in the top half of the league. So that's a pretty good rate considering some of the quarterbacks that they face this year, guys who can get on the run, who can get out of the pocket, but it needs to be more consistent. And to be able to get Russo and Bosa to impact the game the way that they can, or even somebody like Dorian Williams, you know, they really like to blitz him in that game on Sunday. You're going to have to, you got to stop the run. That is going to continue to be a talking point for this team until they finally do it for more than a game at a time.
Right. It's that consistency, not just, we got it right. And now, we're good.
Yeah.
It's just about extending it.
Yeah. It's interesting because I think when it comes to that defense, so much of it is going to be matchup specific, not only going down the stretch here the rest of the season, but whichever team they face in the playoffs. If they don't figure that out and they have to play Indianapolis, for example, good luck. Like, you're not going to be able to stop Jonathan Taylor with the way this defense is playing. So, and I think that's why you hear Bobby Babbage pushing that sense of urgency at this point in the season. Like, it was one thing, you know, earlier on, the way that he was talking, even after that Atlanta game, where it's like, you still got time to figure it out, injuries, but now it's enough is enough, right? And not only do you have Houston, like, next week it's Pittsburgh, a team that can run the ball. New England's coming up. They're running the ball better than they were earlier in the season. So they got to get that figured out. But it was, I think, and you're writing about Terrell Bernard this week.
Yes.
I think that was by far, in my opinion, his best game of the season. And they desperately need that to continue because as much as we can talk about the defensive line, it's also the linebackers. And he's a big part of that.
I was talking to him after the game and he was saying, you know, he has been playing hurt. His ankle that he injured during the Atlanta game is still kind of nagging. But he was saying he felt like he finally turned a corner against Tampa Bay. And you saw it, I feel, on the field, just how he was able to be a little more effective out there. You know, there are some plays he wants back, of course. But I think just, you know, he, Bobby Babbage, both have been honest that, like, yeah, it's impacting what he's doing, but they still want him out there. You know, they want him out there for what he brings to the team as a green dot. And I think just him being able to battle through these injuries, it's, you know, I see why fans are sometimes upset about the performance, but it's like, come on.
Yeah.
Look what he's working through.
Playing through an ankle injury at a position where it's not like they have a remarkable, like, Shaq Thompson's been hurt too.
Yeah.
So, you know, Terrell Bernard didn't play in that Carolina game because, all right, we'll give Shaq Thompson a chance, but Thompson goes down. So Bernard comes back sooner than probably a lot of guys would have. And, you know, Catherine, he was around the ball, it seemed like, almost every other play in that Tampa Bay game. So, short week, be interesting to see how he recovers. Does he look the same? Because that is not an easy injury to come back from on such short notice. But it's also Matt Milano, like, better in the second half against Tampa, but they need Matt Milano to look like Matt Milano did earlier in the season before the injury. So that is another player that I think is worth watching as the Bills progress and really gear up for the playoffs, because not only do you have to improve your odds in terms of seeding, and just AFC East is still up for grabs in some ways, even though they're behind two games, but they need some guys on defense in particular to get back to where they were at the start of the season.
Yeah, and I mean, we know that yesterday, Monday, was a walkthrough, but they had so many guys limited. You just kind of look around and it's like, is anyone okay? obviously, this point in the season, everyone's playing through something, but it's a long list these days for the Bills.
Yeah, a lot of mental reps, I'm sure, like, to not put their bodies through more workload than they already had. So it is, like, I don't understand how NFL players are able to do this. Like, Thursday games as a viewer it's great to have football that much during the week, Catherine. You barely have any time without it between college and pro. But yeah, for the athletes, I cannot imagine what it's like preparing yourself for this situation.
Do not envy what they're going through body-wise right now.
They need the extra time off. Like, the Thursday game's tough, but after that, you get additional time for guys to get rested. So it's all about getting ready for this game and making sure you get through it so that injury list doesn't grow longer.
Yeah, they'll definitely value those extra days after this game. I will as well. we'll be back next week. So make sure you're subscribing wherever you get your podcasts and reading along at buffalonews.com for all of our stories.
Treat your team to the most flavorful pizza on game day at Picasso's Pizza. 4 great Western New York locations: Williamsville, West Seneca, Lancaster, and Blaisdell. Picasso's. We are Buffalo's Pizza since 1980. Order online today at picassospizza.net.